Madagay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Baray. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people to crusade into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kids.
Hello, I'm Heidi, and welcome back to King's Kids. Last week, Tony's guest Jeanette was telling us her experience of being in depression when she was a young Christian. During that time, she didn't want to read the Bible because everything she read became negative to her, and it was only a few verses that God reminded her about, and friends from church who showed her love that finally brought her through this difficult time. Tony once again is talking with Jeanette about this experience.
That's great that you had a church that loved you and supported you. But there's people listening to this program that don't have that family support, they don't have a connection with church or God because they're just not there. What I would say to a Christian person or even a non-Christian person is, if you got a family member or you got somebody that's really struggling with depression, you need to either contact somebody that can support them, someone that's been through it, or if you're a Christian, then you need to start praying, asking people for help, asking God, how can you help them? Because you see, a lot of the time I minister to people is that I know nothing about the person, but I know my God does. He knows everything about them. And I find that if I try to go and help somebody, whether it's depression or something else, I'm wasting my time if I try to do it in my own strength because I know nothing about the person. But as you said, come back to the scriptures, come back to the positives. And the Bible's so full of positives. God has got a lot of promises in there for you, for me, for anyone that's going through depression, for anybody that's going through any addiction or anything. There's a lot of promises in the Bible.
I felt like I was trying to keep up some sort of appearance of being good when I wasn't. I think people have got to come to the realization that we're all human after all, and that we have strengths and weaknesses. And when you go through depression, you feel like all your weaknesses are showing up at once, and everything's emphasized in the negative anyway.
And you feel that everybody can see that.
Yeah.
Even though they can't.
No.
They can't see that you're depressed. They can't see that the negatives, you know, they can't see that. But it's in your mind that's what you go out somewhere like you think that somebody's looking at you and judging you, but it's all in your mind. And that's the battleground where Satan tries to keep you locked up in that bondage. But I found at times myself, when I've been feeling down, whether I was depressed or whether I was oppressed or something like that, I found strength in the Bible where I chose to believe who God said I was. Find the scriptures, the promises of God, what he says. Like you said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I am justified. I am his righteousness. I am born again by the blood of the Lamb. I am precious. I am more valuable than gold because God says I am. I know God loves me because he sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. So when you start telling yourself things like that, and you know, I said last week or a few weeks back that you can say something to somebody, even something simple, to get them focused off themselves and their problems. Start looking at the positives in you. And I said, the easiest way to do that is look in the mirror, lock yourself in the bathroom and say, "Woo, you foxy looking mama." And then tell yourself, you better believe it. And it worked. You know, because if we just stay focused on the negative, we're never going to get out of it. It's like a merry-go-round. Once you get on the merry-go-round, you can't, unless it stops, you can't get off.
When you're in depression, you can't perform. You cannot perform. You just have to be what you are. You have to allow God to take you through it. You can't actually get out of it yourself. You've actually got, it's a test of your faith, really. The Lord said in his word, this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And it's a simple childlike faith. You're not putting your faith in your feelings. You're actually putting your faith in the facts that if God said he's going to do this, or if he's going to get you through, he's going to do that.
God will always deliver, because you see, one thing I've learned about God He's just not based on our feelings.
Yep.
Because, you know, if we're relying on our feelings, sometimes when we commit a sin and we ask God to forgive us, the devil comes along and whispers in your ear, you're not forgiven. You're not forgiven. And then you go away feeling more guiltier and more badder. As Jesus said, it's not based on feelings. Forgiveness is an act of love. When you forgive somebody close to you that hurts you, it's an act of love. You choose to forgive. And that's what Jesus is all about, you know. And it doesn't matter what we're going through. Jesus is always there waiting to lend a helping hand.
I think you feel a lot of rejection when you go through something like this because you feel so inadequate. You feel like you're just not coping and you feel like people don't understand you. I had one lady I could call my spiritual mum, and at least I had one person God allowed me to have that I could go to, and she accepted me as I was, and I'd land at her doorstep and she'd just throw her arms open and say, oh, kid, what's wrong, you know? And she'd invite me in and she'd give me a cup of tea, and she wouldn't try to make me explain myself, which was really good because I couldn't, but she would just put her arm around me and pray for me. She knew I was going through something, I was struggling, and she was just a positive influence over me by not making it too difficult. She just accepted me as I was.
And that's exactly what Jesus would do. He wants us to look at somebody. We don't need to try and analyze it ourselves and then trying to work it out for the person. They've got to go through this. But you see, the best part about when they're going through this, they're not alone because God is with them. He doesn't take the trials away from them, but he's with them every step of the way. And God never allows us to be tempted more than we can stand. He always makes a way. He always provides a way out. God has always got a way. Like, I'm reminded when the Israelites came out of Egypt, if you'd have looked in the physical, in the natural, when they hit the Red Sea, it was all over, Red Rover. It was all finished. But see, God provided a way. Even if he had to part the Red Sea to provide a way. And no matter what you're going through, whether it's depression or not, when you hit the Red Sea, when you come to the Red Sea and you think it's all over, that's when God will provide the miracle to get you through it.
The very last moment,
Mickey and Becky Moore with God Will Provide a Way. Did God provide a way for Jeanette through this awful time? Let's return to the conversation between Tony and Jeanette.
So, Jeanette, what brought on this depression? Where do you think it started?
Well, basically, it just came upon me. I was basically quite happy. I was trying, I think I was trying too hard at the time to please my mum's expectations of me. What I did learn from it was that you need to accept yourself as a person, not some spiritual giant, you know, that can do everything and be everything to everybody, that you're a human being and that we have faults and we have strengths. We have many strengths that God gives us, but we have faults as well. And my mother was expecting that if I said I was a Christian, then I had to be perfect. And that's not possible.
Yeah, that's not possible. The Bible does say that it is, you know, none of us are perfect and we will not be perfect. And the thing is that we have to accept each other as we are. I know that I cause my children a lot of stress or made them feel oppressed or maybe even cause depression at times in their lives. Like all good fathers, you want your kids to strive and do well. And when my oldest boy was starting to play football in junior league, I mean, I was the worst parent on the sideline. I mean, you didn't want me there at all. As an adult, you can see where they need to be positioned on the football field. You're yelling out and screaming. You put that much pressure on the child. They just want to walk off. They just want to be out there and enjoy themselves, and they just want to leave because, you know, you put that much pressure on them. And I did the same with my other son when he was playing golf, you know. He asked me to caddy for him in the championship, and I knew he could play better. But I put that much pressure on him. He choked, and he didn't want to be around Dad when he was playing golf because it made him feel oppressed because of my expectations on them. So do you think that's the same with kids today, especially with higher education? We put so much pressure on our children to perform.
That's right.
They're like monkeys, you know. We expect them to jump through hoops and ace the high school certificate because this person, our forefathers, you know, was a doctor, and the one was ordered as a doctor, and that, you know, not every kid wants to be a doctor, and we put so much pressure on our children.
Yeah. It reminds me that God said he saw us when we were in our mother's womb, and he formed us, and he knew all the days of our lives, but he formed us to be an individual. And I think some Christian teaching does try to make people, I am a Christian, I do this, I don't do that, I'm like this, I'm not like that. And I think God has made us individuals for a reason, and he takes us through an individual walk so that we can be who we are and what we are to somebody who it's going to benefit.
We expect the world. That's the way they behave. They put pressure, and I know, even as a Christian, I put pressure on my children. But, you know, even now I'm discovering that even some churches are causing oppression amongst their own congregation because they say that you can only come to our church. You can't go to somebody else's church. You can't get prayed for by somebody else. Or, you know, they put all these religious rules on their congregation, on their people, and they either give God away because they feel so oppressed or they feel depressed or they go into depression, you know.
Because they feel they can't perform.
They can't live up to the expectations of the church or the church that they're going to, and it's wrong because a young lady got baptized in water but with another church, not her own. And she was so happy that she actually made the commitment and got baptized. But then later on, fear set in because she was afraid that, you know, people knew that she got baptized and she didn't do it in her own church. And she felt, you know, heaviness, a depression, a oppression come over her. Oh, what if they chuck me out of the church? Where do I go? You know, and that's wrong. And you know, no church or no organization or any religion should put those expectations on their people. You know, I know Hindus and others that they can't eat meat. They got the restrictions, you know. And I remember one bloke nearly burnt his house down because they weren't allowed to eat bacon. And he was cooking bacon, and there was a doorbell rang, and he shoved the hot frying pan underneath the cushion of the lounge.
Oh.
I mean, you know, that was a Minty's moment. That wasn't a God moment. He set the lounge on fire because he was so afraid, you know, that of being caught out, not being able to live to the rules. And nobody can live to the rules. The Bible says we couldn't even live to the Old Testament. That's why Jesus Christ come, to set us free from the law,
yeah,
to come under grace.
That's
you know,
right.
Because we couldn't live the Old Testament, and the wages of sin is death. And if I had to live under the old rule of the Old Testament, I'd be depressed.
Yeah.
You know, I would be looking to jump off the buggy cage, you know. But you see, when we put our trust in God and we accept the grace, and you know, that's the problem with the church today. And I'm talking about the church here, not just talking about worldly people. We put too many expectations on our fellow brothers and sisters. And if they have depression or they're oppressed,
or
they can't leave the house, instead of getting alongside of them,
yeah,
it's like a Dirty Harry movie. You pull out a 357 Magnum and shoot the wounded, you know. Go ahead, make my day, you know. And I had a woman say to me recently, well, if you've been in the church, you know, 10 years, you know, well, you know, if you're not walking right with Jesus, there's something wrong with you. You know, and my response to that person was, well, you've been in the church 30 years and still living in adultery. There's something wrong with you. And the Bible says, don't cast a stone. Don't, you know, if you live in glass houses, don't throw stones. You know, be sure your own sin will find you out.
But the whole thing is, the Lord didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. He came to deliver us. He came to give us hope. He came to set us free from the things that do oppress us. He came to set the captives free.
Amen, sister.
And this is what we need to convey to the body of Christ, that he's come
exactly.
to set the captives free. He's come to give us hope. He's come to give us love. He's come to give us a righteousness that we don't possess, so that we can be the kind of people God wants us to be by grace.
Amen, sister.
And
I agree with you.
By his goodness. And David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The goodness of God goes beyond everything.
Look, the love of Jesus, the love that Jesus expresses for you, for me, for all the people listening, those that are saved, those that are not saved, you can't measure God's love that he has for us. He has enormous love for us, and he doesn't love us any less when we are not right with him, when we're making mistakes. He doesn't stop loving us. His love doesn't lessen for us. You know what I mean? God's capacity to love us is beyond belief, beyond words we can express. The most simple way to put that is God, you're right, God's there. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved. And through his son, for Jesus dying on the cross, that was the whole idea of him coming. Because people would, whatever they got wrong with them, you got to believe that Jesus took their sicknesses, their sins, their oppression, their addictions. He took it and nailed it to that cross. You know what gives me a tickles my fancy? Jesus beat the devil with an old stick. He beat him with an old stick. That was the cross of Calvary.
That's good.
He beat him with an old stick. He didn't smite him and get the angel from heaven to come down. He beat him with his humility that he was willing to die. You see, Satan and the Romans didn't kill, and the Jews didn't kill Jesus. He came and willingly went to the cross for you and me. For all these people listening, he was his plan from the beginning of time, before the foundations of the world was even laid. God loved me so much, and he loved you so much, that he had this plan all along. And God is so good. He knew this old black fella, and he knew you, and he knew everybody, that one day, you know, Satan's reign would come to an end. it's still running. He's still running amok. Maybe he's got a limited time. But you see, he was defeated when he thought he had victory. He thought when he killed the Son of the Most High God, he thought he would have victory. But what he did was he set himself up for his own defeat, because Jesus had intended all along to allow himself to be crucified so that you and I may live. He died so that we can live. You know, I love that old hymn. It says, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. When I wake up sad in the morning, I know that I can get through the day because he did it for me. It's not me. He did it for me. He did it for you. He did it for the listeners. And you think about that. I tell people, you know, they read Mills and Boons because they want the perfect love story. I know a lot of the listeners wouldn't remember Mills and Boone. But, you know, a long time ago, people lived their fantasies, the perfect life, the perfect relationship, the perfect, you know, love life through Mills and Boone, through their stories, and it was all fiction, imagination. But the greatest love story ever told is the fact that Jesus Christ died for you and me. That's the greatest love story.
And that's why it's called Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
The writer that wrote Amazing Grace must have experienced something very deep, and they recognized what amazing grace God has provided for us and wrote that song.
Well, the guy that wrote that song was a slave trader, and I tell you what, he really got a touch from God because he really knew what amazing grace was. He knew what grace meant. You know, the problem is with a lot of people in churches today is they don't really understand grace. They just don't understand it. And they don't understand God's love for them.
And God's more willing to forgive us because he really is looking for us to be a family in eternal heaven.
Well, you know, God is all for the family.
Yep. He'll make a way where there is no way. He made a way where there was no way. And it was the way of the cross.
He sure did. You know, God is so good. He's so good to me. He's so good to you. I saw something on Facebook yesterday and it said, when we're about to give up, when we're going through such trials and tribulations and struggles and we're about to give up, and we shouldn't give up because we're right on the verge of the miracle that we've been waiting for. So if we give up, we miss the miracle. And sometimes when we're waiting on that miracle, we give up. And we miss the miracle. We miss the joy that our Father wanted to bestow upon us. And he loves us so much that he takes joy in giving us the desires of our heart. He takes joy in blessing us. He takes joy in looking after us. Because that's what he made us for. To worship him, to love him, and for him to love us.
Before we go, Jeanette tells us how God brought her out of this negative state of depression that kept her from a close relationship with God.
I didn't get out of depression easily. A friend of mine invited me to do a nursing aid course, which she was doing, and I thought that was a good idea. That was in Fairfield Infectious Diseases Hospital in Melbourne. And as I began to do this course, I interacted with people with various kind of problems, conditions, and I began to feel very compassionate for these people. And gradually, I found that by concentrating on other people's needs and problems, I got out of my own. It was a slow process, but it was effective. Afterwards, I found that I could understand a lot of people's concerns, a lot of people's depression. I was very sensitive to their feelings of debilitation. God used that to help me identify with people in depression.
Thanks, Jeanette. What a wonderful story of God's provision of his grace. You can hear this testimony again by going to kingskidsministries.org and streaming or downloading the messages under the topic Depression, Jeanette's Story, Part 1 and 2. Thanks for listening today. Tony and I will be back next week. And a reminder that our 100th program is coming up soon, so don't miss an episode. I'm Heidi, and on behalf of the King's Kids team, bye for now. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.